On this episode of She's Off Script, I'm talking all about the top 10 tools and services I have found to be must-haves for me as a new entrepreneur. I know some of you have asked me about how I record this podcast, who takes my pictures, my website, and so much more. Today, I'm answering some of those questions. There has definitely been a learning curve for me running my own business, but here are some of those tools that have just helped to flatten out that curve for me. Hopefully you're able to pick up a few new tools for your own arsenal. Okay, so let's dive right in. First up, we have WordPress. Yes, good old WordPress. Now, I built my website, sewaajpelli.com, using the WordPress platform. It's very user-friendly, and with their new Power Builder feature, I'm not sure how new it is, you can just simply drag and drop modules and build your site. Now, if you're trying to get fancy, there are so many online resources and free plugins that non-technical people like myself can use to build a beautiful site. Now, like any new tool, it takes some getting used to, but I will say that it becomes pretty intuitive the more you use it. Now, the other great thing about WordPress is they have a free version, so you can use it while you're setting up your site and getting used to it. But there's, of course, always a catch with free versions of things. Now, with this free version of WordPress, you won't be able to use your own custom domain name or upload templates you purchase from other sites. And so WordPress works on a templating system where you can go online, see a template of how someone else has laid out their website, and then you can plug that in. But of course, you need to upgrade in order to do that, in order to use templates other than what the website has already provided. So right now, my website is a digital hub of sorts for my consulting business. Any free resources I offer, you know, challenges I run. If you took part in my She Needs a Raise challenge, that was posted on there as far as all the information. And then, of course, my blog and this podcast. And I will go in depth into the podcast setup as well. The second app, and actually the next four tools I use for this podcast. So number two is Calendly. Now, this is an automated scheduling software. It's all online that I use to schedule meeting times. So instead of going back and forth on availability via email, I just include a custom link on my initial email asking guests to select a time that works best for them. Now, if you've ever set up time for a free virtual coffee chat with me, you would have done it via the Calendly link on my website or on social media profiles that I have. Now, this is a nice feature to have, especially since, or this is a nice app to have, especially since you can block off your calendar. And if you are a big fan of batching, you can narrow down your availability to a specific day or even a time of the week. And so, as you'll see with many of these apps, the free versions have limited features on it, and the paid versions will give you a little bit more access to flexible features on the app. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at Calendly, but it's been great to minimize the back and forth when trying to schedule time with people. Number three is GarageBand. You'll probably hear this app referred to as a digital audio workstation, DAW. This is the software I use to edit the podcast. Now, it comes free on most Apple software or Apple phones and computers. And so if you don't have a Mac, feel free to search for a Windows alternative like Audacity, for example. But for the actual recording part of the episode, I use a Blue Yeti USB microphone, just some simple headphones to minimize feedback when I am on with a guest, as well as a Knox pop filter. And this helps to soften the hard B and P sounds that we generate when we speak. Number four, I use Zoom to record all of my interviews. The great thing about this tool is that, yes, there's a free version, but it gives you separate audio tracks for each speaker, as well as a video file, which I use to promote on social media. So you've probably seen this on Instagram where I have clips of me going back and forth with the speakers during our interview session. This is also the tool I use for client meetings. Unlike Skype, they don't have to remember the login info for their account. Each meeting has a unique link that I share with whoever I'm meeting with. And some other features include screen sharing and having multiple people on the video conference at the same time. Number five, Blueberry. So this is a tool I used to launch and push my podcast to iTunes and Google Podcasts. It has a really intuitive free plugin on WordPress that allows you to release your podcast episodes as media attached to a blog post. And so, of course, the blog post would be the show notes that you guys see every week for this podcast. Number six, Fiverr. Now, this is a service where you can get almost anything created for $5 by creatives all over the world. I use the site to create the logo for my website, and I'm currently looking for someone to create some specific graphics for me, and I'm kind of looking through the site. I use the service whenever I have something I need created that is not going to be quick and easy for me to do. Of course, for $5, you only get very basic services. So depending on what you need created, prices will go up, but I still find that they're fairly reasonable. Number seven, Adobe Suite. Now, this set of tools starts to get into more of the professional side of things, but with all the YouTube videos out there, as well as Adobe's own resources on their site, you can learn how to use them fairly quickly. As far as price range goes, you no longer have to buy this product suite outright. I remember there was a time when I had to pay, I think, $250 for a student version of these. Now Adobe has gone to a month-to-month model. So for about $30 a month, I think that's for the student version, depending on your tier, you can gain access to these professional tools. Now I'll list out the tools and what I use them for. So Photoshop I use for editing photos, removing backgrounds, doing some of the more intricate, complicated work, or at least what I think is intricate, complicated work. These days, there are apps on phones that will do something very similar. Next is Lightroom on that Adobe suite. So I'll use this for applying presets, refining the colors on images. If for some reason an image is very grainy, I'll use it to smooth it out. It's amazing. It's a game changer, especially if you're editing multiple images at a time. It's fairly easy to go and apply your preset to all of them as opposed to in Photoshop where you're editing one at a time. So that is a game changer if you have a large volume of images that you're working with. Next on there is InDesign, and this is one more for designing anything that requires a layout, like a magazine type of layout or a printable newsletter. So for me personally, I will use it to set up any PDF downloadable resources that I'm offering on my website. I'll use it for graphic layouts for social media. It's just easier for me to maneuver around. But if you're not looking to spring for something that might be a little bit more complicated, Canva is actually a good alternative to InDesign for, at least for graphic layouts, if you're not ready to invest yet. Next and finally on the Adobe Suite side is Premiere CC. This has been a great tool for editing videos. Now, I'm still new at this, but I mean, given that I've been using the other Adobe tools for years, it was fairly easy for me to pick up. Actually, I've been using Adobe since high school. Just a big shout out to Ms. Brooks, who managed the school newspaper and taught the journalism class at the time. And we used the Adobe Creative Suite to roll out the school newspaper and edit the photos that went into the newspaper. And I remember Kelly was the outgoing editor-in-chief, and she trained me before she graduated. This woman was so meticulous and detailed that I learned everything I needed to know to be a successful editor. And who would know that years later, I would now be using these same tools for my business. Number 8. So this is Google's free response to SurveyMonkey called Google Forms. Now, I've used it to gather feedback in the past for an app that I'm launching, as well as I've used it to create forms for potential clients to fill out just so I get to know them before we speak. And so that one is fairly straightforward, but such a neat tool, especially given that it's offered for free. Number 9, I get asked who takes my pictures all the time, and for the most part, I take all of the pictures that you see on social media using my Nikon D5200 digital SLR camera. Now, this is a fairly entry-level camera that I've used for about 5 years now. The package came with 2 zoom lenses, and about a year ago, I invested in a 50mm prime lens, which has quickly become my favorite. My husband gave the camera set to me as a birthday present 2 days before our first daughter was born. Like any new mom, I just wanted to document everything about the new experience. And 5 years later, I'm still using it to record videos and take pictures. I'm happy to do a more detailed blog post or episode on other photography-related tools that I use, as well as my little in-home studio setup. Last but not least, number 10 is OBS. Now, have you ever seen anyone hosting a live stream session where they seem to have slides and images going in and out as they speak? Well, you've probably seen this on Facebook Lives, Twitch, YouTube Lives, or Periscope live streaming. Well, this is a free tool that allows you to create branded live streams with visuals. And the best part is that it's free and open source. And so I had to do a little bit of digging for this one because I attended some sort of a masterclass or a live stream, and I thought, oh my goodness, how are they doing it? So there are certainly more expensive options, but I found OBS to be very user-friendly and very easy to use. So there you have it, the top 10 tools and services I found helpful as a new entrepreneur. I would love to hear if you had any experience with these tools and services, and if you have any others that you love to use. Remember that this episode is part of a series of solo episodes I'll be hosting during our hiatus after a great pilot season 1. We will return with season 2 guest episodes in January. Thank you for continuing to support our show. As always, please share it with your friends and family and colleagues, then subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We'll talk to you next week.